Hey, you want that to go?
And we have takeouts for you this morning on stories we're following this week. The Federal Reserve raised the interest rate that it charges on short-term loans to banks yesterday. Here to explain is Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Possibly an indication that they believe the economy is getting better. Louise, did they tell us why they decided to raise interest rates?
So, Celeste, they've been telling us for a while they were going to raise this rate. It's not just the rate they charge banks. It's the rate they charge banks for emergency borrowing. This is an emergency window, and they lowered the rate here in August 07 as the crisis was brewing. At the height of the crisis in the fall of 08, banks were borrowing about $100 billion through this discount window. Now we're down to them borrowing less than $15 billion because it's not such an emergency. They don't need to borrow as much from the Fed.
So is the average American going to see any difference in the interest rates they pay on things?
So this rate, particularly when this window is not being used, this rate does not pass through to other borrowing as much as the federal fund rates, which is the main rate people talk about with the Fed. That's expected to be raised also later on. Hasn't happened yet. But this is all the Fed exiting from these things they did during the crisis. They pulled a lot of levers, and now they're just putting them back in place. It was widely expected.
Okay, Louise Story, thanks so much. Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times.
Now on to sports with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Speaking of the window, Tiger Woods has snatched the drape shut since the window was thrown open on his private life and his affairs with numerous women. Tiger Woods appears in front of the cameras for the first time today at 11, Ibrahim, since the scandal broke. Now, he's not going to be taking questions from reporters, but you have some questions you would like to be able to ask Tiger Woods.
Without a doubt. And it's not a secret that Tiger Woods is not well-liked. He's aloof and he's very controlling. But this is one of the things that I want to know. Why did you do it? You have a beautiful wife. You have beautiful kids. Why did you mess that up? And I think that's what a lot of people want to know. What on earth were you thinking,
Tiger? Might be asking himself that.
Precisely.
Okay.
Another one is, when are you coming back to golf? Hello, Tiger. You're the best golfer in the world. Please come back to golf. Put some of this stuff to rest. And there's a lot of people who are saying it's none of our damn business. And he doesn't need to apologize. Get back to golf and make that clear. And finally, are you more sorry that you were a cheater or that you were caught? Because that's the real question that people want to know.
Good question.
Are you really sorry that you were caught? And deep down, we want to know that Tiger, we want him to answer questions because we want to see him as a human being. So I think he's got a long way to go to win back the trust of his fans and of his potential economic supporters.
Now, what about question number two? When are you going to come back to golf? What are the signs of when he's coming back? When is he going to play? Do we know?
Some people think that this sort of announcing it at a PGA event is sort of a harbinger that he is perhaps thinking about in that direction, and maybe at Augusta he'll make his return. So we're hoping that he'll be able to, you know, play in some of the Masters and sort of put some of this behind him. I think he should go on Oprah before that, or like a Barbara Walters special.
The Oprah couch.
Right, exactly.
Excellent.
And sort of deal with some of those issues there.
Right. All right, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks. And before you go, Ibrahim, he wants us to point out the USA plays Canada on Sunday in Olympic hockey. It's a huge game. So after you get your Tiger overdose, reset for Sunday Olympic hockey.
Our last takeout, we go to Vancouver. We're joined by Jason Stallman. He's the Olympics editor for our partner, The New York Times. Jason, there's a lot of attention on men's figure skating in this Olympics. It's considered to be one of the most competitive fields for the sport this year. What happened last night?
Absolutely, it was one of the most competitive fields, and I think what happened last night caught a lot of people by surprise. Yevgeny Plushenko, the defending Olympic champion from Russia, he performs a move called the quad that not many people dare to try. Four full rotations. He pulled it off seemingly flawlessly last night, but Evan Lysacek of the United States somehow passed him up. Lysacek had most of his jumps in the second half of his program, and he was rewarded bonus points for that. Because, you know, the judges say if you're doing this late in your program, if you're doing your jumps late in your program, it's more difficult.
Because you're tired.
That's the difference.
Yeah, it's a long program, and people get tired.
4.5 minutes, you should be completely exhausted by the end of it. And Lysacek was able to do most of his difficult moves toward the end, and that seemed to pay off.
So where are the standings now?
Well, Lysacek walks away with a gold medal,
Yep. And
Plushenko takes a silver, and Daisuke Takashini of Japan leaves Vancouver with Asia's first medal in men's figure skating at the Olympic level.
So what happened to Johnny Weir?
Johnny Weir seemed to skate great. The fans really, really embraced him, and he was thrilled with his performance. He had a crown of red roses on his head in the kiss and cry area after his routine. He finished fifth.
And he was happy with that.
He seemed to be thrilled.
How did the audience feel?
The audience was into it. You know, they especially got into Evgeny Plushenko's routine. He's not too typically somebody who really tries to engage the live audience, and he did that last night. So watching his performance, it was hard not to think that he had it locked up. He was making eye contact. He was nodding and thrusting his hips at the audience, and they were eating it up. And when he finished his performance, he seemed to think it was locked up. The audience seemed to, but no, Lysacek walks away with a gold.
Don't count your gold medals until they're hung about your neck, right, Jason?
Absolutely.
Jason Stallman, Olympics editor for our partner, The New York Times. It is Friday, and lots of people are going to be watching Olympics over the weekend, but a lot of people are also going to be going to the movies. So our question that we're asking listeners today is about sports movies. I don't particularly like sports movies, and I'm always surprised when I like them. So we're asking listeners, were there movies that you ended up loving that you thought you were going to hate? Todd, was there?
I wasn't supposed to like it. I didn't want to like it, but I love it. Titanic.
Okay.
Love it.
Interesting. Ibrahim?
As a longtime comic books fan, I didn't think I was going to like Spider-Man, but I did love it.
You loved Spider-Man. And Louise, any movies you expected
to hate? The Big Lebowski. I thought I would hate it, but now I get all those jokes about the dude. I get it. I'm in the conversation.
Now you abide.
The dude. I get it.
Did your husband have to explain some of them?
He did, but now I'm on the same page as the rest of society. I get it. The dude.
Louise abides.
We want to hear from you. Was there a film you expected to hate and you ended up loving it? Let us know at 8778-MYTAKE or post to our website, thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.